Good morning, everyone. Happy Father's Day to all those who are dads, to those who played a part in people's lives in being a father figure. I'm always reminded that there's so many people that play a significant part in our lives as we grow up, and sometimes they're biologically related to us and sometimes they're not, but they can be just a significant presence in our lives. So today we remember those individuals who were our dads and our fathers. And I remind you that when Jesus prayed, he referred to God as dad, as daddy. The Aramaic word for the word that he used for father was much more intimate than father. Wasn't the Downton Abbey father, right? It was the real close connection to that one has to that. Anyways, I'm glad you're here. Happy Father's Day. We're particularly glad if you're here, if you're visiting for the first time, or if you're family members who are here, who have come for Father's Day. I'm particularly glad that you're here, but we're glad indeed that you're here. Friends, may the peace of the Lord Jesus Christ be with you all. Let's take just a few minutes, because I started late, to share the grace and peace that we have received. The Lord be with you. Let us pray. Holy God, sower of seeds, be at work among us, we pray, that your church, this church, may thrive in faithfulness. Whether we are the size of a tall cedar or of a small sprig, it doesn't matter to you. You are able to put us to good use. Not by our own efforts, but by your power, your love, your grace, and so we bear fruit. Produce in us, O Lord, all that you will. Make us spacious in hospitality and in welcome. We know you can make even the dry tree flourish, and so we ask that in the midst of this worship service, you send your Spirit, that we may not only feel it, but experience it, and then go out into the world to encourage it and everyone else to grow in your love and your grace. It is in Jesus' name that we pray all this. Amen.
Good morning. If you are able, please stand. Why do we gather? Why do we come?
We come to celebrate God's kingdom here and now.
Lift high your praises, glorify our Creator.
Let us lift our hearts to the Lord.
Thank you. may be seated. And now is the time for young disciples, so any children are invited to come forward now. Hi, everybody. So today, we're going to talk about marketing. What we're going to do first, kind of a can you find it in the picture situation, okay? So here's the first one. We're going to go to this window, and then that's the second window. So everybody up, and we're going to see if you can find something specific in this window for me, and that's going to be part of our theme. There's actually two things. I just realized as I walked up. Okay. So can anybody find two things that have to do with gardening, seeds, or anything? Yeah, Lauren. Okay, what's in the oval?
A tree or something.
Yes, a tree or a plant. Yeah, anybody else see anything? Yeah? You can actually just shout it out. Flower. Yes. Really good job. We're going to talk more about that seed in a second. But as you look, it's kind of tiny, right? Like it's probably not a full-grown tree, I would say, right? That's a little shoot, they call it, or a little sprig that's coming up. And that's new growth. It's not a full-grown tree yet. Now, we're going to go over to that window. Everybody, turn around. We're going to find one more symbol of growth in that window. And it's tinier, and there's only one this time. Now, who can find it? Okay, there's two. Oh, okay. All right. Okay, yeah, go ahead. The yellow flower. Yep. Mm-hmm. Yep. The white flower. Yeah, that's really special. Mm-hmm. Anybody else? Yeah. The butterfly, yeah, and the tree, there's a lot. Yes, but I was looking at this white flower right here, right? And that's a different kind of a symbol of new growth. We'll talk about that once we sit down. Okay, now everyone else can come and sit down right here with me. And today we actually have a story. It's a very sad story, so you have to listen closely, okay? It's basically comparing two things. Right, so that's what Jesus is doing. So we have a story for today. Jesus is comparing the kingdom of God to a mustard seed. Does anybody have mustard for it? Do you have a hot dog?
Yeah.
No.
No?
Okay.
Yeah,
we like ketchup, right? This is a ketchup variation. It's not really good.
No. But you put a little mustard on there, right? And that comes from his own plant. And so Jesus is saying, the kingdom of God is like a mustard seed. And his point was that the mustard seed is so tiny. You almost can't even see it.
Barely even see it. But it grows up to the largest of shrubs, out of all the shrubs. That's crazy, right? You would never think that something
so tiny could be that big, right? So now, speaking of seeds, I don't have any mustard seeds, but I did find these little guys.
Does anybody know what these are?
Yeah, helicopter seeds. These are easy to find,
right? Maple seeds, yes. Okay. Mm-hmm, exactly. They float down.
They look like they're flying. They look like they're
flying, right? Okay, so then what happens?
When these go into the ground and water comes and they take root, what happens?
It maple tree grows.
It just grows really big, right? That is crazy.
Okay.
Yeah, and so, you know, we kind of take that for granted,
right? Because we know that trees grow big and they come from seeds. But if you really stop to think about it, it's an incredible lesson. And what Jesus is saying is that even though the kingdom of God started small with Jesus, it will become so big, right? And one of the things that we're going to talk about in the service is that little things, little acts of kindness or words of love, can grow into something really big and have a wonderful and large effect on the people that we are showing love to. And that's an incredible thing. And so let's remember that going forward this week, that even the tiniest little act of love can have a big impact. And we don't really, maybe we can't see it, but it can grow as big as maybe a maple tree or a mustard tree. So, all right, let's pray together. God, thank you so much for teaching us how to love and giving us hope that even in the smallest of things, you would be working to bring about a wonderful harvest. We pray that you would teach us to be wonderful disciples for you and guide us as to how we can love one another each and every day. In Jesus' name, amen.
The proof of God's amazing love is this. While we were sinners, Christ died for us. Because we have faith in him, we dare to approach God with confidence. In faith and penitence, let us confess our sin before God and one another. Please join me in the unison prayer of confession. Merciful God, we come before you to confess our sins and seek your mercy. We have not loved you with a pure heart, nor have we loved our neighbor as ourselves. We have not done justice, loved kindness, or walked humbly with you, our God. Have mercy on us, O God, in your loving kindness. In your great compassion, cleanse us from our sin. Create in us a clean heart, O God, and renew a right spirit within us. Do not cast us from your presence, or take your Holy Spirit from us. Restore to us the joy of your salvation, and sustain us with your bountiful Spirit. Amen. The mercy of the Lord is from everlasting to everlasting. Through Jesus Christ we are forgiven. May the God of mercy, who forgives all our sins, strengthen us in all goodness, and by the power of the Holy Spirit, keep us in eternal life. Amen. Be seated. God of light, illuminate our understanding this morning as we listen to your word, so that we might know your will and obey you more fully. In Christ's name we pray. Amen. Amen. Our scripture reading is Psalm 92. Hear now the word of the Lord. It is good to give thanks to the Lord, to sing praises to your name, O Most High, to declare your steadfast love in the morning and your faithfulness by night, to the music of the lute and the harp, to the melody of the lyre. For you, O Lord, have made me glad by your work. At the works of your hands I sing for joy. How great are your works, O Lord! Your thoughts are very deep. The dullard cannot know, the stupid cannot understand this. Though the wicked sprout like grass and all evildoers flourish, they are doomed to destruction forever. But you, O Lord, are on high forever. For your enemies, O Lord, for your enemies shall perish. All evildoers shall be scattered. But you have exalted my horn like that of a wild ox. You've poured over me fresh oil. My eyes have seen the downfall of my enemies. My ears have heard the doom of my evil assailants. The righteous flourish like the palm tree and grow like a cedar in Lebanon. They are planted in the house of the Lord. They flourish in the courts of our God. In old age, they still produce fruit. They are always green and full of sap, showing that the Lord is upright. He is my rock, and there is no unrighteousness in him. This is the word of the Lord. Thanks be to God.
Thank you. Our second scripture reading for this morning comes from the Gospel of Mark, chapter 4, verses 26 through 34. Hear now the word of the Lord. He also said, "The kingdom of God is as if someone would scatter seed on the ground and would sleep and rise night and day, and the seed would sprout and grow, he does not know how. The earth produces of itself first the stalk, then the head, then the full grain in the head. But when the grain is ripe, at once he goes in with his sickle, because the harvest has come." He also said, "With what can we compare the kingdom of God, or what parable will we use for it? It is like a mustard seed, which, when sown upon the ground, is the smallest of all the seeds on earth. Yet when it is sown, it grows up and becomes the greatest of all shrubs, and puts forth large branches, so that the birds of the air can make nests in its shade." With many such parables, he spoke the word to them, as they were able to hear it. He did not speak to them except in parables, but he explained everything in private to his disciples. This is the word of the Lord. Thanks be to God. Will you pray with me? Lord, may the words of my mouth and the meditations of all of our hearts be acceptable in thy sight, O Lord, our strength and our Redeemer. Amen. So I don't have a green thumb at all. For instance, someone gave me one of the Easter flowers after Easter, and I took it home, and try as I might, I watered it, I kept it in the sun, and I tried to do everything I could, but it just kept drooping and drooping. Like, it's so sad, and it eventually just died. So knowing that our scripture today had to do with seeds, crops, and gardening, I decided to seek counsel in places other than my sad attempt at keeping a flower alive. My dad is a farmer, and my sister is a gardener, both having worked professionally in their fields. So what do? I call my sister Hannah, and I ask her, "So can you tell me more about crops, weeds, and how things grow?" And what was her answer? After a long pause, she said, "Well, basically that's everything about gardening, so..." And we laughed, and she continued to illuminate me on the culture of the garden, the rhythms of the crop cycles, and the harvest, how the year flows, and how the climate affects things. I asked her what she knew about the mustard shrub, and she said, and I quote, "No one would ever plant that on purpose." And I was shocked. And when I asked her why, she said, "Well, it will completely overrun your garden. And it will take over everything." She said that even though it has medicinal qualities to it, it's essentially a weed, that you'd want to root it out immediately if you saw it. Otherwise, the crops that you had intended to plant would be choked. And here I was thinking that mustard was a biblical plant, like that it would act nice, like Jesus-like. I mean, it's in the Bible. But Jesus is using this mustard plant intentionally as a metaphor for a reason. And we'll come back to that. But for now, I want to ask you a question. I want us all to close our eyes for a moment. And I want us to think of one action or one moment or one thing someone said or one small change in your life that resulted in something big, something small that ended up having enormous ramifications. Can you think of one? I can. I think of how when I was young, someone from church mentioned to me, almost as a throwaway comment, so casually that they probably gave no real thought to it, but just said, "You know, I think you might want to think about going into ministry." That one comment began my thinking and pondering and praying, and it was a seed planted that would eventually be confirmed by the community and grew into a deep sense of call to ministry for me. If you think of yours, I'd love to hear about it, whether it was for good or for ill. What we find is that small things, however backwards this may sound, really do sometimes have the largest of implications. They ripple out into infinitum and possess a sort of butterfly effect. The theme of little things permeates the gospel to an unmistakable degree. You might even say that the theme of little things has an enormous ripple effect itself over the gospels as a whole. These little things include little spats between disciples, little ones, meaning children, little faith, meaning Jesus' nickname for his apostles, little acts of faith, like touching Jesus' hem, small acts of kindness, like the woman pouring ointment on Jesus' feet, and something as small as our thoughts and intentions that Jesus cares about. And what is the one thing in all of these little things that is in common? That Jesus intensely cares. So much so that he says to the woman who touched his hem that her faith has made her well, that her lifelong hemorrhages were cured, and that changed her entire life as she knew it. So much so that he says of children that if you do not become like one of these little ones, you will never enter the kingdom of heaven. So much so that even our thoughts are capable of either indicting us or blessing us beyond measure. In thinking of these little things in our lives, we think small, like a time of change, or maybe think smaller, like a conversation. Think even smaller, like a smile. And smaller than that, a moment. Things so small, they sift and fall through our fingertips like the tiniest of seeds. As seemingly insignificant as a grain of sand at the bottom of our beach bag. As elusive as a breath, so easily lost in the wind. But it is not so with God. To the God of the mountains and seas and stars, we'd expect that nothing less than the earth-shattering power of the largest of movements could have the ability to change anything or make any difference. But it is not so with God. Instead, our God of the mountains and seas works in the most intimate and infinitesimally small things to bring about beauty, love, and earth-shattering change. World-altering difference, or rather, kingdom-altering. For the kingdom of God is like a mustard seed, which when sown upon the ground is the smallest of all the seeds on earth. Yet when it is sown, it grows up and becomes the greatest of all shrubs and puts forth large branches so that the birds of the air can make nests in its shade. And it will completely overrun your garden and take over everything. For it is these little things that the world may brush off and call pointless or insignificant, these little things that the world may call us naive even to do because they wouldn't make a dent. It is in them that God works unimaginable power for change. It is not with an army or a brilliantly white horse that God ushers in his kingdom, but on a disheveled little donkey. The quote I began with, the quote that I was actually thinking about putting in the bulletin, about that was written by Margaret Mead, that said, "Do not think that a few committed individuals cannot change the world, for indeed that is all that ever has." It's an idea that I struggled with to comprehend at first, because for me, I think I struggle with thoughts, maybe as you do as well, thinking, well, what can that really do? What can one can of soup do to really help end hunger? Or what will one kind word really do to end loneliness? And while nothing is magic, and one person can't cure all the world's problems, Jesus' word to us today in this parable offers a mysteriously different answer when it comes to what God can really do with what is unnoticeably small. The answer to those questions, will it really do any good, is one we'd least expect. That indeed, it will overrun your garden. It very well might have an effect of a lifetime, and this kind of phenomenon is not lost on Jesus. For he tells us that this kingdom of God he speaks of began small and will spread unexpectedly and almost humorously above and beyond the fruit of our planned crops. As we remember that the mustard seed is not only tiny, but it is an unruly weed that grows in places we wouldn't expect, literally uprooting our neat and desirable crops. The reign of God will, as one commentator puts it, like a fast replicating plant, get into everything. It will bring life and color to desolate places. It will crowd out other concerns. It will resist our manipulations. Its humble appearance will expose and mock pride like a parody show. As a result, some people will want to burn it all down in a pointless attempt to restore their fields. In short, he says, there is no gospel in which Jesus remains buried in the ground like a dormant seed. The kingdom of God, beginning so small you almost can't even feel it in your hands, is what some may call a weed, growing where you'd never expect, overturning our plans, and coming out on top, choking out our cash crops, and coming out as victor over the things we think should matter, over our neat and tidy understanding of how God is working, and over our carefully laid plans. The reign of God so unstoppable, so explosive, that nothing can get in its way as it spontaneously grows in our midst, pushing up shoots from the smallest acts of kindness, from the unnoticeable words of love. So be not dismissive of the tiniest of things, as God can and does bring to fruition out of them the greatest of shrubs. Do not underestimate what will come from our little seeds, for they may just overrun the garden. In the name of the Father, Son, and Holy Spirit, amen.
Seated. So in the back of the bulletin, you'll see a list of individuals that are related to or near and dear to members of this congregation. Those are our graduates. It lists the school from which they are graduating and the degree which they have received. Are any of ours here, or are they all at the shore? I think they're all at the shore or have gone to a graduation party somewhere. Well, one of the things that we will give them when we see them is their Bible. And what I tell our... So they received a Bible when they started studying, and they've had it down in the youth group, and we refer to it when we have our youth group meetings. And so I always give it... I always give them... I have always given graduates a Bible. We haven't always done that here, but in the churches that I have. And I tell them, you're going to find this to be very useful. At times, you'll put it underneath a bookcase that's wobbly, and you'll forget that it's there. And then somehow when you need it most, you're going to stub your toe on it, or you'll find that it's on your bookshelf and you forgot that it was there, or that it was underneath your bed at school, or it was somewhere. And when you need it most, somehow God is going to help you to find God's word again. And I truly believe this. So that's what I tell them. But they're not here, so I can't tell them that. But we will tell them that when Pastor Taylor and I see them and try to send them on their way. You know, I won't keep you. And Pastor Taylor... It's a wonderful sermon. I'm so glad that the Spirit of God continues to be active in your life and in your sermon preparation, because that spoke to me. I hope it spoke to other people. But now I forgot what I was going to say. And I can do that because I have gray hair. So we'll move on, and I'll think of what I wanted to say. I forgot to mention the Black Friendship pew pads at the beginning of the service, so you might want to sign those and share them with folks that are sitting in the pew with you. I will invite the ushers to come forward at this time and receive our offering so that we can continue to support the many, many things that this church does in mission and ministry. And concerns that you'd like to share with the congregation at this time? Yes. So two organizations that we are in partnership in mission and ministry in the city of Chester and beyond are having a picnic this Thursday. It's open to anybody. It's at Chester Park. If you want more information, call me or call David, and we'd be happy to have you join us as we attend that gathering. Others? Yes, Jenny. I like joys. Give me a joy. Grateful you have a dad for a best friend. Amen, Jenny. Amen to that. I saw a hand back here. Yes. And can we get her name? Okay. Yes. So I didn't repeat. Helene has a friend who is having surgery named Sue. We'll keep her in our prayers. And Holly is asking us to pray for the children who are being separated from their parents at the border and the implications that that separation could cause in their lives. Others? Yes. Yes, I noticed. Are you going to bring that?
We celebrated 108 years old,
Judy, your mom. That is amazing. Well, do tell her that we do think about her and we do pray for her, not just on the day she celebrates her birthday, but that. That's marvelous. That's marvelous. I think at 108, you can have any kind of party you want. So, others? Yes. And what is his name?
Julian.
Successful birth of your second grandson. Hallelujah. Wonderful. So I don't want to make this a commercial, but a number of you I know have been throwing a question at me that has been thrown at me in every church I've ever served. And the session and I have had a somewhat lengthy email discussion about the whole idea of church and state and religion and politics. And I have heard you, and some point in a not too distant future, I will speak again, I hope inspired, and I trust inspired by the Holy Spirit on that very topic. So I'm sure that those of you who wanted to hear me do that, will be the one Sunday that you're not in church, because that's it's always the way it works. But anyways, Pastor Taylor and I are always open to hearing what your concerns are, and if we can't always do it, but if we can address some of the concerns that you might have by searching Scripture ourselves and through the inspiration of the Holy Spirit to preach on that, we are always happy to receive your suggestions. Friends, let us come to God in prayer. O God of creation, you set us in a green and verdant place, and you gave us everything needful for an abundant life full of blessing. Yet we find ways of messing things up and not doing things the way that you would want us to do them. So we ask that you might inspire our hearts and our lives and our minds and our hands and our actions to become more fully your disciples in this place, that you might open our hearts, our spirit, to allow more of you in and less of us being in the way. Gracious God, we know that because we are lost, you work in us. You work among the least, among the lost, among the last, in the things that are seen, the things that are unseen. And that your heavenly reign, your heavenly kingdom does not swagger, but is subtle, small like a mustard seed that grows, that comes among us in uncommon and often unnoticed ways. Give us eyes to see and ears to hear how and where you are moving and changing all things. Help us to look for your kingdom in the ways of children and others who are vulnerable among us.
to seek you at the margins among those overlooked or ostracized. Humble us so that we can learn from those who are meek in all the earth. Oh God, you are a life-giving God. When our lives are dry and brittle, when injury and disease get in our way, when the fear of surgery and what's taking place in our bodies scare us into inactivity, remind us that we are your temple, that inside is greenness and life and fruitful. But when we can't feel that, when we can't hear you, for those who we know are in need of your love, of your touch, of your spirit and mind and body and spirit, some whose names are printed in the bulletin, some whose names we've spoken out loud today, and some whose names we've kept in our own hearts and minds, we ask that you might teach, that you might touch them with your healing touch. For anyone living with depression or chronic pain or long-term illness, we ask for your healing and tender care. For those who've lost employment or the opportunity to be engaged with others in meaningful service, we pray for new opportunities to spring up. For anyone who has come to an ending, whether sought or undesired, we pray that a new beginning will open that promotes new growth and flourishing. And finally, dear Lord, no matter how small our faith is, we pray that you will give us good growth in our discipleship to you, so that we may be faithful ambassadors of Christ, sharing his love and working for the reconciliation of the world. Oh Lord, I've spoken for these good people, but they have their own sets of prayers to say, and so in this brief moment of silence, I pray that you will hear their prayers as they share them with you in silence. Holy God, hear our prayers and hear us as we pray as one people the prayer our Lord Jesus taught us to say. Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name.
Thank you.
friends, let us go out and sow the tiniest of seeds and look for the ways that God is already growing these things in our midst. And go with the love of God, the grace of our Lord Jesus Christ, and the communion of the Holy Spirit, now and always. Hallelujah. Amen.